America's birth certificate, the Declaration of Independence, says that our rights come from the Creator, and the first such right listed is the right to life. Now, the founders didn't bestow that right. They merely acknowledged it and did so in print. But for the last 50 years, abortion has undermined that right. Thankfully, the Supreme Court decision of Roe v. Wade has been overturned. That, of course, gave us abortion on demand, but there's still very much of a battle over abortion in America. One of the leading pro-life voices of our time is evangelist Dr. Alveda King, who has a new website, speakingforlife.org. This is Focal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Alveda King joins us. Alveda, it's always a pleasure to have you on. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jerry. That's Speak for Life.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
S-P-E-A-K-F-O-R-Life.org. And hello and Merry Christmas.
Thank you, and I'm glad you corrected me on that. So, real fast, I wanted to ask you, since I know you've done a lot of great, important pro-life work with the organization Priests for Life, which was founded by Father Frank Provone, and lately, I guess he has had his, licensure or his ordination ordained, his ordination removed by the Vatican. And so I don't know how that's going to work out, but the organization will continue, correct?
Absolutely. Father Frank Provone is perhaps my greatest mentor, has been in the pro-life movement. We met in 1999, became good friends, and I worked with Priests for Life for 16 years as the director of their civil rights outreach. So it was just absolutely a good time for me. I'm still on their board. Priests for Life is not under the Vatican. It never was, and it will continue. I doubt that Priests for Life will be canceled. I don't think the cancel culture will be able to do that.
It's really a shame because this is a great man, and I'm sorry to see this. I didn't want to know what to say about it publicly, other than I really respect Father Provone. He's one of my favorite people speaking on this issue of abortion.
Absolutely. Pray for him. He's human like we all are. And I think he may have sent a confidential thought. He thought he sent a confidential answer in a tweet or something. But Father Frank is very devoted to the babies in the womb, to life, to civil rights. And he's a very good friend of mine and a mentor.
Well, I'll tell you what, Dr. King, one of the things that really is disturbing is a story that we see in the paper from time to time or on the websites and so forth in the news. Of a couple, or let's say there's a, mother, young mother, she gives birth to a baby. She thinks, because of the whole pro-abortion mentality that's been just, rammed down our throat for the last 50 years, she thinks her only options are, okay, she has the baby, but she has to keep it. But she can't afford the baby. She doesn't know what to do. And she ends up killing that baby, in one case, drowning a baby in the ocean or whatever. This story happens all the time. These mothers aren't apparently aware of the safe haven or the safe harbor laws, which exist in all 50 states and the District of Columbia. Could you please tell us about this? Because this might save somebody's life if they're listening and they don't know about this.
The safe harbor laws are such, and it's not necessarily a new concept. Because for many, many years, even back into the old Bible days, the ancient Bible days, women have left babies on the doorstep of the institutions of the church or places like that. So there are safe harbor locations and laws in various states now. And there'll be no questions asked. No one will prosecute the mothers or search for the mothers or anything like that. And they're able to leave that child, and the child will be given into the safe care of a family. Adoption laws in America and around the world are a little expensive sometimes now, but we're finding in various churches and loving institutions are stepping forward to take these children and to help raise the children. So there are safe places for you to leave your child if you feel that you're in such a place that you don't know what to do. I had abortions myself when I was in my 20s. Many years ago, one before Roe v. Wade was passed and one right after Roe v. Wade was passed, because I thought I didn't have any other options. And I found out later how wrong I was. And I've helped many families, mothers, fathers, families, either birth the babies and keep the children and raise them, and they're very happy, or sometimes giving up for adoption. So we encourage you, if you think there is no way out, there is always a loving solution without having to kill the child.
At the time that we're going to be airing this abortion 50th anniversary, you know, Roe v. Wade is around the corner, January 22nd, 1973. In fact, Harvard was going to have a big celebration on the 50th anniversary of Roe, and thankfully they canceled it because Roe got canceled, but there's still the battle that goes on. But how about a comment? I think this is the first conversation you and I have had since they made the Dobbs decision to overturn it.
I think it's very important, because I was with a young lady the other day. Oh, because they overturned Roe v. Wade, they're going to arrest pregnant women. Nothing is further from the truth. There are no laws or efforts to put women in jail, you know, in the question of abortion or miscarriage. There are laws that still allow abortion up to 9 months. And in some cases, if the abortion attempt goes wrong and the baby lives, they are still allowing some babies to die. So no one is putting women in jail for having miscarriages or abortions. That is just not true. Roe v. Wade sent the question of abortion back to the states because there are so many pieces of information that were not available in 1973 when Roe v. Wade became law and it was okay to kill babies in the womb. There's so much information of women like me who said we suffered horribly from the experience. There's so much more information, even when there are pregnancies, when the mother's life is at risk. There's so much more medically available to help mothers. There's so much information that is there that was not there in 1973. So the law has gone back to the states for reexamination. We want to serve and save as many people as possible. We want to save the big babies from losing their lives. We want to save the mothers from the terrible trauma that abortion has caused so many of us.
There was a politician out of California who had a commercial. And in the commercial, he basically was saying, vote for me or women are going to be arrested for having abortions. He literally was a little drama where this lady was arrested and what she had done was have an abortion. And she was taken away in handcuffs in front of her husband and her crying children.
Well, that's just terrible. And that was honestly not the intent of reversing Roe v. Wade. Not at all.
And it's just a total lie, because as you said, you know, women are not the ones being arrested here for these illegal abortions. In fact, if there is anybody arrested in any cases, it would be doctors who are not following the law related to that. Is that correct?
That is correct. And one of the biggest laws was we have to have abortion because women are having back alley abortions and dying. But we know we have so many cases where legal abortion, for all the years that abortion has been legal, they are not regulating their facilities. They're not following sanitation procedures. So many problems. They have the facilities on second and third floors and buildings with no access to gurneys and no elevators. There is just such a problem with legal abortion not being safe for women. And that information also has come out.
I understand that right now there's a bigger push for abortion through the pills, which actually could be more dangerous than even the surgical abortions to the women, to the mothers.
And the women are having these abortions in their homes, in their bathrooms, with no medical advice, no help, no nothing. All of that has been happening, yes.
Wow. Any comment about that?
Well, I believe that we have to get the information out. It's the obligation and responsibility of the pro-life community. We need to do an even better job of getting this information to the women who need our help and need the truth so much.
In the recent election, we saw abortion was a very important issue. In the case of, for example, Senator Warnock, who unfortunately, in my opinion, probably your opinion too, won re-election, but he was saying that he's pro-abortion because that's what Jesus would want.
He actually said that, and he spent $132 million in that race. Herschel Walker, who was his opponent, very pro-life, and even in the face of having been accused to have paid for abortions when he was younger himself. And I said, well, I had abortions when I'm younger, and I'll tell you right now, abortion is bad for women and babies. I will tell you that, whatever pressure you put on me. Raphael Warnock uses the term reverend or pastor, and yet he says he's a pro-abortion pastor and that Jesus would have bid for abortion. Well, Jesus said, choose life. The Bible, well, Jesus did say that. Jesus is the word of God. So even in the Old Testament, choose life. And in the New Testament, Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Well, abortion is not abundant life. So I don't know what Bible Raphael Warnock reads, but Jesus certainly brings life, not death.
You have a unique perspective. You're the only niece I know of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. What did he think about abortion? Now, of course, he died in 1968, and that was before Roe was legalized, or legalized abortion. But your comments about Dr. King.
Well, my uncle, Martin Luther King Jr., Uncle M.L., there is another niece and there are several nephews. Okay. And the King family legacy, which is headed up by Daddy King, Martin Luther King Sr., who's in heaven, his wife Alberta, who was shot playing the organ on a Sunday, playing the Lord's Prayer in church. My dad, his brother, Reverend A.D. King, was killed in 1969 in the Civil Rights Movement, and my uncle was shot in the movement. But our legacy is hope, faith, love, forgiveness, repentance, and certainly we have to say that life is sacred. Now, all of my family, especially not publicly, is saying that I'm one of the louder, more public voices who says that life should be celebrated and acknowledge and appreciate it from the womb to the tomb into eternity. So as Martin Luther King Jr.'s niece, a member of the King family legacy, a senior member of that nowadays, I proclaim life and truth.
Do you think we could ever get to the point where abortion would be unthinkable in America?
Perhaps not quite unthinkable. Abortion is as old as sin. Abortion is a sin. So even from the Garden of Eden on up to today, abortion is here. However, we can give people other options to choose life. And that is what I believe in, making abortion unthinkable. I think it is possible to make that dream a bigger reality than it has been for 50 years. Mm.
All right. How about a closing thought, 30 seconds, about the whole battle over abortion in modern America?
I was at church during the holidays in 2022. In 2023, we have an opportunity to encourage each other, to love each other, to bless each other, to strengthen each other, to repent of the harm that we do, and to embrace an opportunity to serve and live together. So that is my whole prayer for 2023, that we will be more aware and more sensitive to human life from the womb to the tomb into eternity.
All right. Our guest has been evangelist Dr. Alveda King, and her website is speakforlife.org. Thank you so much, Alveda.
Thank you.
Appreciate
God bless you.
God bless you, too. Bye-bye now.